Hello, this is Jerry Cabezudo from GodIsLoveTruthLife.com or GodIsLoveTruthFreedom.com. I have a very special impromptu audio podcast with...
Ryan RPG Golombeski, Finding Bigfoot, Expedition Bigfoot, world traveling cryptozoologist, and just, you know, all around weirdo. I like all the weird stuff you love.
Yeah, there was no way I was going to be able to give you that awesome introduction. So, so we have a common interest in cryptozoology, extraterrestrials, and we were just talking about communication with them. And then I was like, let's just record this conversation. So my question to you was, have you ever used sort of sign language or anything like that? How have you communicated with Sasquatch or Bigfoot?
Yeah. I would, when I first began doing it, I'd do it the typical white man way, you would say, where you just go out and you bang on trees and you howl and you expect it to come to you. One of the things you don't know until later on is that for most of us, you're scared of the dark. So you're doing that and you're yelling and screaming because really you don't want anything to jump out or surprise you. So then you got to go face your fear of the dark and being alone in the woods, which most people never do. So then I would go out and I would camp alone. And not only that, I'd spend an entire day naked. So I would strip myself all the way down to as fearful as you can be, remote area, nobody's around. If anything goes wrong, it's miles to hike out, you know, there could be Bigfoot. And you live it. And then you realize you're so much stronger than you think and that you create a natural boundary around yourself where unless something is hurt, you know, like a hurt animal or maybe a mama bear or something, everything gives you space. So anyway, I think Bigfoot's the same way. You know, they give space to us because we are not focused on what has been given to us, the beauty of this natural world. We are focused elsewhere. So I think they're very aware that our mentorship is flawed. What are we gonna do?
The fire thing? I don't know. Do you want to do a bonfire later?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, okay. I can make a little fire.
Yeah.
We can
do that after. Yeah, we'll do that whole thing, honey.
Yeah. So, anyway, long story short, one of my best experiences in the mountains, you would ask me if I'd ever use sign language, and I never directly use sign language, but on Finding Bigfoot, we were in Turner, Maine, and there's a Turner, Maine Bigfoot footage, okay, and it's this Bigfoot, like, walking during the day, like, moaning, like, and it actually brought up the discussion within the space, which was controversial, of whether or not there might be autistic Bigfoot, you know, or special needs Bigfoot, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with, like, questioning that, but you know, you say something like that, and people are like, they come at you so fast to the throat. So we went there to stand in solidarity with this young man, and because he got picked on in high school. It's a typical tale of bullying. He came out, he told everyone, like, imagine if this is happening on your property and you're literally seeing a Bigfoot, something that the world says doesn't exist, but it exists. And you come in and you want to share it with your community and your community takes a dump on you, you know, like, horrible. But reality can, like, do some good. So when you show up with a camera and all of a sudden he's on TV, that gives a little bit of respect, which he deserved, right? Aww. So something very real was going on his property. We went out. They went out. They heard stuff from wood knocks to howls to action in the woods. It was, like, happening all around us. So if you say that there are, like, ex-government, like, multimillionaires who literally just get off on, like, hey, we hacked the system at the park so we know where they're going to be Bigfooting in the park. Let's go mess with them. If you're telling me that's the reality, absolutely. That could be. It could be. Hmm. If not.
Wow.
If not, there is something very special going on. And if you just take a moment to wrap your head around how intelligent we are, if they are even remotely or maybe even more in some ways, how would you ever know? I could tell you stories about apex predators that could live right on your land. You would never know they were there. Even if you're a great white hunter, you would never know they're there because all of their focus is in nature. How much focus are we truly in nature? And I think that number would astound people. So anyway, people ask, why can't you see Bigfoot? You know, I was like, you can't see Bigfoot because your head is literally up your ass. You know what I mean? Like, that is why. I hate to say it's your technology's ass or your problem's ass or all this manifested, you know, shit that keeps us away from being focused on the present, which puts you in the environment, which then allows you to interact because you begin to notice how it works. And then maybe then on the other side of that awareness, they would greet you, you know, but then you got disease and you got problem and they know, and I don't know, like, what would they gain from being with us? You know, what would they truly gain from engaging with humanity? Because if it is and always will be a resource war for position so that you can pass on your genes and your species or your lineage can go on, because really at the end of the day we're just animals, then they're doing what's right by keeping distance because we can outbreed them and we are psychotic. So
well, that's our condition. We don't have to be this way.
No. Yeah. But the people that keep the edge, the people with the resources to bridge the gap, that's an interesting topic there, because I would argue that those people keep a line. They don't want us to know. So either they're working for someone else, or they're keeping that a secret because it would affect religion, it would affect history, it would affect everything, you know? And I think that's the bigger piece you're getting at, is everything you've ever been taught is a lie. So your reality that you're in is a fabricated world to give you things to focus on and manifest. And once you realize that, you can be in kind of twisting. But, you know, for a lot of us, it's hard, you know? It's too late. You've been so enslaved for so long, you know? It's like, it's really interesting. But with that said, nature's, so the more you get out in nature, the more it releases and brings the primal you back. And the primal you is what I think people need to be excited about re-embracing, which is like your gut. They've moved us from our gut, which is our first brain, all the way up into our heart, which is our second, and then to the head, where they keep most of us living in the head or even in the throat. And you can't live, there's no instinct, there's no connection to whatever the divine is in there. So people have to get back to the primal self. They have to get back to the beginning. And once you do that, you realize, but that comes with a lot of rage, comes with a lot of emotions. You don't take shit anymore. You become a Spartan. That's what Spartans were. They were more connected with their primal self. Where we are in this future where we think we can be weak because we have the tech to be strong. Anyway.
Wow, dude. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Well, you talked a lot about awesome shit, dude. Well, let's back up a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good. So I kind of have a theory that do I say Bigfoot or do I say Sasquatch? I thought I was supposed to say Sasquatch.
It depends on who you ask. I guess some people would say, so you're this animal and you have large feet and people only call you by your feet. Is it derogatory? Is it not? Like, are they Sasquatch, Sesquite, you know, the real pronunciation? Like, is that, who knows? Until you tell me, when the day I do mind speak and it truly connects, or someone like yourself comes back and go, hey, I got the name, then I'll gladly use it. But until then, you're telling me this evolved animal is upset that you're calling it Bigfoot. Like, who cares, right? It's a little, you know, sticks and stones-ish for
me. Okay, totally. Okay, so I have a theory that they show themselves more to people that can understand these sort of more higher concepts of, like you talked about, like just connection with nature, with the universe, with I would say morality, to be honest with you. I feel like our society, as you said, is psychotic, full of lies. Mm-hmm. You know, we have up is down and left is right kind of thing. And, you know, what is considered civilized is actually quite brutal. And anyway, but going back to, yeah, just like nature and just connection, I feel like people who have that vibe are able to see them. Would you agree or not?
Yeah, so we can only see a very small part of the visible spectrum, and we can only hear a small part of it, you know. I'm sure we can only taste a small part of it. So if we're living in a 3D realm, third planet from the sun, 3D, and everything is like this, then how, it's like, how do you get people to see, like, 4D and to be able to look beyond just a superficial, like, face of it. I'm sorry.
My kids like banging a bowl. Sorry. Listen, we're podcasting parents right now.
Let's get it done. Kids, take care of yourself. Oh, look at the baby. Don't lay an egg up there like last time.
Oh, shit. Really?
I'm sorry. Reel me back. Where were we?
Before the drum solo. We were talking about...
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So this is at what actual podcast parenting looks like. It's just we get interrupted.
Yeah, it's rough, man.
Anyway, rough. So you're talking about, yeah, just the sort of how the human perception is limited.
Oh, yeah, you were asking if certain people can see them because they vibrate on a different level. Yeah, I think so. I think it's more than just the person. Like, if you truly meditated daily and you've done it your whole life, and you could probably just transcend and shift in and out. But if not, then you do a little bit of that, or maybe with a combination of some psychedelics with that, with being out at the right time on the right ley line, maybe even use some kind of technology to boost the electromagnetic current around you. Like, I just think life is beautiful because there's so many different ways to enter the kingdom being what you're seeking. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think the more in tune you are with nature and the more you can sit in the moment out there. Hey, you be nice. the better your odds are. But it's also like Native Americans taught me to be respectful. Like when you go out, let them know you're coming. Like screw that, you know, it's impossible to use mind speak or telepathy or what's that connection between parents and their children. Like that's real, but nobody wants to talk about it. But reach out to them before you go. And then when you get there, leave an offering. Like we all, those of us into nature, we usually collect something, be it a stick, be it a stone. Like when we go on our hikes or something, there's something, a leaf. We always, there's something we connect with. That is all you need to leave as an offering when you go out into the woods, because your love and your energy is a part of that. And it's like a thank you to them, because what are you doing at the end of the day? That's their home. Our home, we define homes by, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 square feet. Like their home is 3,000 square miles.
Right.
But it's still their home. So by showing that level of respect and then going through, because like if you were to go and be in bear country, you would not, she's the dominant one. You would,
we have two dogs wrestling.
But if you're in bear country, you would respectfully ring bells and you would let them know you were there, because it's more about the surprise and the what, you know? So as long as you do that, sometimes you get lucky. And that may also be because after passing those things on, you are vibrating at a better level, you know? But who knows? You also have to be into it. You know, it's what you're focused on. You begin to see, right?
So I have a theory. Let me know what you think. So are you familiar with the Anunnaki sort of human origins story? So I feel like we're somehow related to the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot, but they managed to follow their natural evolutionary cycle, whereas we got basically genetically engineered to be a slave species.
Sure, like it could be true. I mean, there's a lot of credence to it. We're really good at breeding and spreading. And what do you do when you have minimal resources but time? You breed and you spread until it's catastrophic. So, yeah, it's definitely like a little slavey mentality. And if you look at the earth and just the surface of it, it's more of a graveyard than it is a lush paradise, even in the beautiful places. If you are open to the idea that once there was megaflora and fauna that we can see, and there are little pieces that they weren't able to clean up. They weren't able to have these world fairs and slowly dismantle the old world in front of us to reset the stage for a new beginning and a new way that lasts for so many years, and then they do it again. But maybe it's true. Maybe that is the truth of our reality, is that we are ants in our own cage and that we design realities and times because we have the technology and medicine, but we can't go anywhere. Try to go up, you can't go up. Try to go down, it's deeper ocean. It becomes more ocean. Up, ocean. So it's really, it's like a, imagine being fiercely intelligent but knowing you cannot leave a place. Good luck. And I think that sums up humanity.
I'm just like feeling the gravity of what you just said.
And who knows? That's just trusting the gut. That's just like feeling and not and letting the, you know, I used to think when I would sit and write and I do things, it was me coming up with stuff. It was me. But when you're younger, you're all ego. And you have to be, because you're launching and you're dominating. You need resources, the best mate, the best job, the best this. Also, you can shine bright, you know, and create that legendary status. But like, I don't know where does it take you if you don't like find who you really are and what you really want to do. You don't, you'll be miserable. You'll make everyone else, like it'll spread around, you know? So it's how do you, I don't know. I feel it's a little,
I'm hearing a lot of divine masculine as well as divine feminine in the way you speak. You talk a lot about sort of an inward journey, which is a bit more divine feminine, but then you have this like sort of like energy, like exploding outward kind of divine masculine energy as well. How do you keep that balance between those two poles?
You check in on your body's a temple, right? So you should worship it as much as possible, the whole thing. And so exercise is super important. Like push yourself. Like you've been given a Maserati, a Bugatti, whatever you think is the sexiest vehicle, you own that. You're presently driving it. And I think you should take that and challenge yourself to different levels and different milestones. And that will help keep you not only fit, but able to handle any situation, and also it floods you with endorphins. You know, you literally have, you're happier and more present. But then on top of that, take cold showers, get into fasting. Like I do a 136-hour fast a week. and really try to regulate that. I mean, a little Mary Jane goes a long way. I got to be honest, you know, it's sometimes it really just helps you. It is a low grade hallucinogenic, and they quash like hallucinogenic research back in the 60s for a reason, is because it works. It literally helps reset your brain and your nervous system and your lymphatic system and everything, and gets you back online. And you know, like this to anyone listening, if you have anyone that you're worried about and they're on the edge and they have mental health issues or just depression or whatever, like, look into a hallucinogenic journey, one that takes them to where they can sit and face themselves like Atreyu at the end of Neverending Story and look in the mirror and be able to say, I love you, but let's talk. That is so powerful, and it is so easy to attain. You just have to trip the light fandango. And our society, you know, like, it paints this horrible picture of these things. But this may have very well have been, mushrooms may have very well been what helped us evolve as a species.
The stoned ape theory?
Yeah. And I like it. I'm not saying it's true or not, but I really like it. I think it makes a lot of sense, because you do it and you will be enlightened afterwards, and you will be in better connection with yourself and your purpose and your journey, you know. So yeah, it's there's a lot of life hacks, I guess, and as long as you never just stay curious. What did Walt Whitman say? He said, like, stay curious, not judgmental. And honestly, that is the greatest advice anyone really ever needs. Stay curious, not judgmental. And if you can do that, you can love everyone for the focus they presently have in their life and what they're passionate about, you know, because passion's awesome. You shouldn't quash that in people.
Aww. You want to tell some Bigfoot stories, some choice ones?
Oh, man, Bigfoot's... What, you want to tell them Bigfoot stories? So we actually, like... Yeah, yeah.
You're pointing to the river?
Where you point where she sees the car in there. Oh. Yeah, you see that? Mighty River came up, took that on the edge, because you wasn't supposed to be on the edge, was it? No.
Cause and effect.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah. You're really funny. But to go back, well, here, you play down for a second, okay, my love? To go back to that story we were talking about, hand signals and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
When I was, so we were in Turner, Maine, and when I was there, I went out into the woods, and there's a lot of details to it. I won't bore you with too many, but the point is we had so much action that night, and my theory was that when we're like this lure that goes out into the woods, into their house, and we walk around, we stumble, we cough, some people smoke, like, it's like ridiculous, right? And so, but it must be fascinating to watch and to smell and to get close and probably just, like,
touch
people and stuff, right? Like, what would
they
you
do? They were touching you?
No, but I'm saying, like, what would you do if you were you, but all you had was the woods? So you're just you, but in the woods, like, and a bunch of goofy people that can't see at all in the night come in. I'd be playing games to see who could touch him and get away with it, who could hit him with a little pebble and them not know. Like,
Dude, I've had that fucking happen to me. Was that... I literally had that happen to me in the woods.
That is relic hominid or ape, if you believe it's an ape activity. Like, so yes. But I mean, also it could have been a raindrop. There's like a lot of things you'd have to, if you found the rock and you literally saw
correct.
It to you.
Correct. Yep, yep.
Then
sort of like 3-4 times.
Then if it is not another human being messing with you or a squirrel somehow dropping it perfectly from above you, then yeah, you could have had a
wow.
You could have had something. They could have been saying hi, you know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you have better odds. But anyway, so I'm out there, and they come back in, and I'm like, I say to my buddy Bobo, I'm like, Bobo, was there any? He's like, yeah, man, it was busy all night, but I'm hungry, get out of my way. So he stumbles over and gets in line for the chili, and I go out, and I stand there in the woods, and I have two apples, and I throw one apple down, I throw one apple to my left in the woods. This was the darkest, the clouds had dropped from the sky into the forest, so you couldn't see anything, plus it was misty, plus it was dark, and it's like a pine forest, so you have all these branches, so it's really like a horror movie. You think you're gonna poke your eye out. Had to wear goggles and shit.
Stephen King lives in Maine.
Yeah, Stephen King, he's a creepy talented man, that's all I can say, creepy talented man. And so that one, I threw it, hit a tree right next to me, dropped right down. I was actually embarrassed. I was like, oh man, if something's watching me, they think I'm an idiot. So I turn and I throw it the other way, and it goes down this old logging road, and where it turned around the corner, it ended up being deep, maybe 2 feet at the most of just water, like saturated water. And you hear that the apple hit the water, poosh. And it made me jump a little. I was like, oh shit, because I didn't know it was there. And I'm thinking, dude, you work for the number one like traveling Bigfoot show in the world. You're this Bigfooter, and you're jumping in the woods, which goes back to what I'm saying. Like, you don't know how afraid you are of the dark. most people never fully put that shit to rest.
It's a primal fear.
It's a primal fear, and there's a health to it, but you're learning. So anyway, it was seconds after the plush, and I kind of was like, oh, all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, on the darkest, creepiest night I've ever been in the woods, anywhere where there was all this activity, something walks out of the woods, kaplash, kaplash, and you hear, bloop, and it grabs an apple, kaplash, kaplash, and
holy
out,
shit.
Silence. Holy shit, it's right, Batman. One thing I failed to mention is I had thrown it, and then with some great apes in their physical, because I'm big on physical culture, if they get down and place a hand out, once they are out of trouble, the leader, the male silverback, will come and run its hands over theirs.
Wow. So he's like doing a sort of almost like genuflection sort of pose with a hand offered out.
Yeah, like really prostrating myself. Or if they are ape-like, which I don't know, I'd like to think no now. But if they are, it's a gesture maybe they recognize as submissive and honorable, hopefully, to a thing. But definitely like don't mess with me because... At this point, so I'm down on my knee.
Wow.
Once again, big bad Bigfooter. I'm going to win Bigfooter of the Year. Like, I'm on it. And I start shaking. It was as I had an earthquake going through me. I was so scared. But then I realized I wasn't just scared. I was thrilled. And when's the last time you've ever been thrilled? And I'm going to say it's been a long time for probably most people. Because thrill is once in a lifetime, like electric, you know, like powerful, blow your mind kind of. And I was being thrilled and also scared for my life. I was like, this is real. What have I done? Why have I come this far? What am I doing? Do I have a death wish? I have a death wish. Oh my God, I'm suicidal. I didn't even know I was suicidal. So all these thoughts are going through my head and I'm like freaking out. And then you start to breathe back and I calm down. It's like I blacked out emotionally, so I don't know how long that was. It could have been seconds, you know. It could have been a minute. Who knows? But I bring it in. I stop shaking. I stand up. I'm like, holy fuck, is this? And then you begin to doubt everything. You're like, it didn't happen. It didn't happen. That didn't happen. It didn't. You immediately, your body goes right into, nope, forget this. Forget it. Forget it. Forget it. This is only dangerous.
Yeah.
And so you struggle for a sec with it. And then you're like, no, that's why I'm here. And holy shit, this is spectacular. Like, this is crazy. And so then I begin taking little stones and I begin taking them and I begin throwing them, right? Because I don't know what to do, but I don't want it to end. But it's also like, it's just quiet now. It's just quiet. So I start throwing it and nothing at first, right? Then all of a sudden, I also forget to mention, I had a Jack Sparrow wig on, which I think, because I dress up. Like, I just like dressing up for different
cool,
different
yeah, yeah. I remember watching your show and you would like dress
so
up.
So I'll dress up like as a pirate some days at work and just come in like giant, and people like, you're an idiot,
cool.
You know? Life can be a stage all the time if you want, right? So anyway,
Shakespeare.
So I had that, but I think that benefited too as another aspect of it because they were confused by me because these animals have they almost have no neck. They're so muscular, or they appear to. So with this hair that I had on, these dreads, it appeared that I had no neck and it just went right to my shoulders.
Oh shit.
So it might have been just like really curious about like, what is that? Like they'd never seen it. And that's one of the things my buddy James Bobafay always says is like, do stuff that'll keep them curious. Do something they haven't seen before. Give them something that's like thrilling, like just like you would want. You would want to be bored out there.
Right.
So I actually took that off at one point and showed it to him. And in the beginning, I actually took my phone out. I took my walkie off from work. I took everything out.
Oh,
I showed
shit.
The woods and put it down, saying that I wanted a genuine experience. I wasn't here for glory anymore.
Was this on film?
No. This is all just
unfolding.
Well, in a strange way, it is. It's in a strange way, it is. This story is much bigger, and we'll continue it next podcast. But long story short, oh, buddy.
He loves dogs.
Yeah.
You love doggies? You want to...
Doggies are your fave. So anyway, I'm out there. It does that. And then I take the hat off and I could swear I hear like...
Oh, my God.
And it's hard to say why I think it was swaying, but it felt like like almost... Maybe it was even going back and forth with the tree so the tree would kill the sound out or something. I don't know. I don't tell that one all the time because it was so faint and my adrenaline was pumping so hard and I wanted it so bad, but I also didn't want it so bad. So who knows how powerful you are in that moment. Very minimal experience. But, nice fall there. I give it a 10 out of 11. Good job.
Aww.
And then I start throwing stones again. And then I notice that every time one of my stones lands down there, a stone lands right near me.
Wow.
Like, almost, the timing was almost so perfect.
Wow.
That, in my opinion, it denotes intelligence and an ability, a physical ability to move physical matter with professional precision.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating. And right when I got it, I got all excited. And, you know, you can't hide your face. And they can see you in the dark. I'm like, what? No way. And then I threw it again. Gone. Done.
Oh, because they realized it was a human.
It was three times. One time I was like, is that what happened? Then I threw it again. And I was like, that is what happened. I threw it again. I was like, holy shit. And then it was done. Yeah. Okay, good job. Good work. You're a winner.
Love our, like, free-range parents thing. We're like, you're not hurt? Okay, great.
Yeah. Don't die on me. But also, they're wildly intelligent. You know, like, they really are. And there are certain things you gotta guide. But, you know, for the most part, they play it pretty safe. It's really interesting. But, yeah, sometimes, God forbid, anything goes wrong, though, the whole family would be on you. I told you about that free-range parenting. And you're like, oh, my God. Yeah. Thanks for being there when I'm at my lowest, you know, and I feel my worst about myself. Yeah, thank you very much. I need a kick. I'm really low. Just a couple more kicks in my face. Bigfoot is, or relic hominids, are very real. They are, they're fiercely intelligent. So the first way to understand why you can't see them, or how to at least begin taking steps to see them, is you're going to have to get incredibly lucky, like win the lottery lucky, which is rigged anyway, so don't try that.
Yeah.
Or you will have to invest the kind of time and resources that, you know, Bob Gimlin and Roger Patterson or any of the late greats were able to go out and, like, really spend real time in the land. You'll have to do that, and even then you may miss the mark. So it's hard, you know, it's a grind. But they do move. They move around and they travel. And they are true stewards of the land, I think, in a way, or at least checking it out, seeing how it's going. Hey, no gentle.
I feel a sort of, like, connection with them as well as a separation connection in that, like, those could have been, like, our relatives, you know, like, or what we would have been like prior to any potential, I think, actual genetic manipulation. And then, yeah, that separation, like, we're not them right now. You know what I mean?
Sure. There were a lot of different types of hominids, and they just like us to believe that they all vanished. And it's just not true. If you had enough of them, you could live in these small areas. And we have this, like, false feeling that, like, Western medicine has made us, you know, given us the strength to endure and do all these things, but that is their environment. They've moved to harsher or stronger or more difficult places to stay away from us, and that has now been bred into them to be hardy. You know, if you were to make us really nature, the largest dude and the most fertile woman, like, it would go back to the best breeding with the best to create the best so that they can survive, because that's really the fucking fundamentals of it all. We add all this frosting to this cake, but you're here to pass on your genetic code. And I think when you get more raw in nature and in smaller groups, that is what you have. You have more of a primal structure to it, you know. But with this enlightened kind of spiritual aspect, to where, you know, if you have someone in your community that, hey, be them special needs, or maybe even be them walking of multiple races, so they like the boys and the girls, something, there's room for them. There's the wisdom is seen in that, and that it's special. It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So anyway, yeah, I think it's beautiful what they have, and they have no need of our help whatsoever. And the government already knows and keeps the distance between us. And if anyone ever acts up, they understand that the harsh reality is death, and that's it, because it's the only permanent thing, and it's the only thing that is respected. You know, fire used to be respected, but you know, it doesn't need to be that anymore. And that's it. And I just think if we could bring it mainstream and people could really grasp the concept that they are literally in your backyard at some point in your life, and you've probably passed them in parks and they're probably everywhere, that maybe we could save more of the lands, or bring back the old waterways, or you know, bring back the Midwest and open it up for the buffalo to come back and charge in million, you know, million person herds or million bison herds. I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, let try to bring nature back to that extent. I think because once it's proven that they're everywhere, then where's their habitat? Right. So now you got to kind of protect more.
Right.
And yeah. And I would imagine they'd have a lot of wisdom to share with us, but it would be like, oh, duh, get back to nature. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, good luck.
Well, and also I'm in a sort of, objective morality, natural law sort of podcasting space. And to my listeners, like, you know, this, there's this concept, right, of when one suffers, all suffers. And that's not species specific. I think, you know, we should, as a human species, take responsibility for our encroachment into Bigfoot lands and share better instead of overtake. What are your thoughts?
I think that, like any takeover or resource war, they've had to give up certain areas that maybe were one time very sacred to them because they are now not even special to us. We just own it and we've built on it. And but there are massive tracts of federal land. To me, like, just look at where the federal land, just really look at all the land you can't go into as a private citizen or you'll be trespassing. Not even that it'll be anything horrible happening to you, but you'll be trespassing. You'll get in trouble. There's plenty of land out there for these things to be in and to live in. And if you're smart enough to understand where boundaries are because you can tell what a fence is, which I would imagine they can, you know where to be. And when they cross, to me, as like an athlete and as someone that loves adventure, if you're going from one federal tract of land because your uncle is, you know, 600 miles away over here and you're having a, they're having a family barbecue, like, that's a sprint. That's a run. And it's an adventure to get across without being seen, to move like ninja, right, like forest ninja, and to make it all the way across also without getting hurt or interacting. And I think that's what happens. And sometimes some humans, some of us, Homo sapiens sapiens, we get lucky and we happen to just catch a glimpse. And most people that catch a glimpse, it never is brought up again. It's forgotten. Because remember how I said, like, when it's happening, you almost immediately dismiss it. Almost, like, it's really like the first thing that really you do. You're just like, no, it can't be real. Because it doesn't make sense. It is, it's, it doesn't make sense. And so, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you have the reality that what you're having is a genuine experience. And what do you do with that?
How did you get interested in this?
I saw one when I was a kid on the side of a freeway, and it stood there, and it really wowed me, and I didn't know what it was. It was just like a big shadow, broad shoulders, and it turned and walked into the woods, and I thought it was a bear. Well, first I thought it was like a billboard, and then I was like, oh, it looks like a bear standing up, but I didn't understand anatomy at that time, you know. And so a bear has slanted shoulders, where Bigfoots are broad, like a, the largest linebacker of all time times four, you know. So I didn't know that, but then my mom had brought home this Reader's Digest book thinking I might be interested because I was interested in the paranormal and sea serpents and all that stuff. She goes, what do you think? And on the front of it was this silhouette of a Bigfoot, and it was the silhouette, basically, whoa, that I saw, and I knew then that's what I saw, and then nobody believed me, and I buried it, you know, because that's what you do. Shame, no, none of us want shame. We all want to blend. We all want to be cool, you know, and, like, be a part of the community, but, yeah, that was kind of the start, and then because I was a military kid, we moved all the time, and you're like, that puts you lower than the stinky kid or the, you know, back in the day, the heavy metal kid or the goth kid, whatever, whoever's the totem pole of cool, it puts you at the bottom. And so I'd spend a lot of time alone or doing things or trying to impress people. So I would, you know, there would be all these abandoned buildings near the soccer where we play soccer and stuff. And they'd be like, I dare you to go in there. So I would do it, you know.
Whoa.
I wanted to make friends, but but there's a rush that then came with it, that fear, like you're facing your fear. And then I was simultaneously watching Scooby-Doo at the same time, and Scooby-Doo's hitting me with the same message all over. It's like, well, it's always saying it's some angry white guy, right? Some angry white guy. But there's always a logical answer. And then one day I go, wait, I'm the angry white guy. And then this light bulb flicked and you realize, yeah, it's all in your head. Now, could there be a homeless person in there someday? Yes. But what are the odds of that homeless person also being a homicidal maniac that is going to kill me? If the worst they're going to do is, you scared the shit out of me. What are you doing? Get out of here. You want to buy me some, you want some drugs? You
know, right.
Like, what are the odds it's going to be worst case scenario? And why do I think that way? Which could be another whole discussion. But the more you face that, the more you realize, yeah, it's all in you. Until I could make it to the top of the house and my heart was just almost normal. I don't think I ever got it to where I wasn't like a little scared, but I think that's also the fun of it, you know, that you do it. But yeah, just kept facing all those things and then got lucky when my brother and I did a show and we almost sold it and we almost were on TV and we almost there. We were on Spike TV. We did pickups and it didn't go. But when we did pickups, we did it with my buddy, James Will Fay, and his show went, which became Finding Bigfoot. And so that's how I then got into the TV aspect of it and just took it out of the family sector, as we call it. But yeah, something's going on out there. It's kind of amazing.
I want to talk about facing fears because I feel like that's just a fundamental process in one's evolution journey, you know? Because I like to sort of touch on spirituality in my podcast as well. So do you think that early practice of facing your fears, developing that desensitization is why you give no fucks now?
It's part of it, but it's desensitized me, but also it's an addiction too. To that process, because all these people are telling you that what you're about to do is dangerous and there's evil there and here's my version of it. And if you then couple that with being brought up, you know, all these different versions of Catholic, then you have a very strong foundation of demonic presence and evil and, you know, all this stuff. So, yes, it makes it an incredibly endorphin pumping experience and ride. And yeah, there's a negative to it, but there's also, or I guess the positive being, I have thicker armor to it, because for all these times I've charged, you know, I'm here. You know, have I ever been sliced open by a ghost or anything? Has a Bigfoot squashed my head with a stone from 300 yards? No. And these, all these things maybe could have happened, but they didn't. So it's like, it really is, I am the angry white guy. It's just, I'm creating this fear that should not be there. Like, it should not be there, but it's there. What a curious quest, right? To figure out how to turn that off. And why do I have it? And where did it come from? You know, is it right. The programming? Is it the TV? Is it the family members that were scared to sleep in that particular room and you overheard it as a kid and you're like, wait, what's coming in that room? And then they put you in that room to sleep and good light. And then you happen to catch the tail end of Poltergeist movie and you're like, oh my God, that's the doll sitting in the corner.
Right.
And there's two ways to face it. You shit your bread, you know, shit your pants or go through this trauma. Or I went and grabbed the doll and went and sat in the closet and I said, all right, gates of hell, here we go. Open up. I'm fucking ready. Like, I'm sick of being scared. And then nothing happened. And I went, really? And I was like, all right, doll, with your long arms, like, fucking rip me apart. Like, eat my soul. Oh, my God. Nothing happened. And then, you know, and then the fear, yeah, the fear drops. And I think there are some things that communicate with that. And if you have that very low, you will not have good communication there. But I think the key to communicating with Bigfoot or relic hominids someday is to reach a point where you are truly without fear and you are just in the environment. Because there is a harmony to nature that most people don't see. It's not like the tiger or the predators go around and they are just killing 24/7 all the time. That is not how it works. You know, there is an order. There is almost an honor to it. Hey, no.
And we have some feeding of chickens happening.
Are you feeding the animals? Here, you want to feed the animals? Here. You want to feed it? Yeah. Here. You want that? Here.
Aw, it's so nice to see our kids playing.
Yeah.
Yep. That's one way.
A little early. Go to the edge.
Bubba, this way. So it kind of sounds like you've just always sort of, maybe you had several reincarnation cycles, and so you kind of came with the knowledge of how important it was to face fears early on in your life, dude. That's kind of what I'm getting.
But it also could be that it is very traumatic to be a child raised and every 2 years you're uprooted and you move to a new place and you're the new one. Mm-hmm. And you've got to survive that, right? Now, in retrospect, I can go anywhere and do anything and talk to anyone. So I am very like...
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, let's finish. I'm going to talk to... Yeah, we'll do that in a second, honey. How about 10 more minutes? 10 more minutes? Does that work? We'll get it in a second.
Go get the cups and have River make it the river way.
Daddy, I want hot chocolate.
Yeah, go see if there's one more.
We're outnumbered by children right now. And it's well.
Mm-mm.
It is well.
They're doing all right.
So, yeah, what you were talking about moving every 2 years and how
it
traumatic.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
You
That's
just,
a lot.
Yeah, and there's a lot of fear and anxiety and you got to be strong and it's what's best for the family and you're hitting the age where everyone else is wrong and you're right. And yeah, I think that added to it, you know, to being kind of more of a badass in that way, for sure, you know. And maybe it's reincarnated me as well, and that's why I keep repeating the thing, or I haven't learned yet or something. But I know there is something to conditioning an animal, and I have been conditioned to act in a certain way to certain stimuli. Yeah.
So I feel like there is, I have observed that there is a depopulation agenda happening where they want to basically take out spiritual alpha males from our populace. I feel like there's horrible. thinking about all the
Corey,
plastics. Our common friend Corey Enderlot, shout out
Corey Christ.
He's amazing. I was just telling Ryan before we started recording that Corey, I go to him for spiritual advice, and he's like, he could be my kid, basically.
Yeah. Be careful, or you'll end up worshiping him, and he doesn't want that, right. Even though he's worthy of it. He's wonderful. Yeah, he's going to change the world and help us get back to nature, and that is like the most worthy cause, you know, as the technocrats keep us crashing forward and unfocused on, you know, what we've already been given, basically. It's like we're not happy with what we've been given. Like, we've been given Maseratis.
Totally. Right? But yeah, like in our, you know, foods, you know, the GMOs, sort of phytoestrogen sort of additives to things. I feel like they are right. trying to rid humanity of testosterone.
Sure.
And women need testosterone as well. So how do we... You said you have a sort of physical discipline practice.
Yeah, you have to remove yourself from Western medicine. It is, it's I say Nazi in the bad way. It's like Nazi-run organization. That I will. Give us 5 minutes, and I'll come in here. I'll open it.
We're about to give our children a bunch of refined sugar.
And then go to bed.
Yeah.
Why aren't you sleeping? What is wrong with you? You take after your mother. It's not my fault. It's your fault. Sleep on the couch. Oh, God.
Daddy, can you come and make it?
I will. No. Here, go have River do the hot water method. He knows that. In the sink. Hey, we're almost done. We have to finish. We have 5 minutes. Here, take this with you.
That's amazing.
I will.
We can record and walk, you know. That's okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The future is now.
Yeah, it was just an audio recording. Okay. Sorry, what were we talking about?
Oh, yeah, what were we talking about? I got distracted by...
Children. This is how... Okay, so for those that are listening that aren't parents, this is literally how conversations go. This is real life, where you'll be on a topic with an adult... And then you'll just completely lose track because we have a baby on a counter.
Okay, you're real great. Here.
Oh, hot water.
Stay running, yeah. And then we'll use that because it never gets scalding hot, you
know? Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Okay, honey. We're going to take turns, though.
I'm going to.
Okay, so...
I forget.
No, we were talking about the Nazi sort of medical system that we have.
Oh yeah, you gotta get away from Western healthcare. What they're doing in the States is they are running the largest like longitudinal study but across all these different bases with all these different drugs. All the people that are on all those drugs, they are unpaid medical zealots, and they don't know it. Like, at least get paid for it. At least get paid, like, reimbursed, because they're just trying all these drugs, which the irony are, they're based off nature. They are out there. They are there to have in a natural form and given to us in a natural environment where it can work, which is really just getting sunlight and, you know, getting out in nature. But,
word.
But yeah, that's the first step is to stop outsourcing your health.
You changed that diaper so freaking fast, dude, while podcasting. Holy crap.
Parenthood. Let's go.
Okay, keep talking.
So, yeah, the first is to remove yourself. You know, if you break your arm or something, and, you know, there's certain things you can do, but everything should be done first, holistically and in a natural way. And so, like I was saying, cold plunge, it's shock therapy, it's... Just look at professional athletes. You know what they do after a game? They all get ice baths. And
right.
There is a reason for that. And just deep dive on that. And the easy way you can do that is every shower, every time you bathe moving forward, you spend the last 3 minutes, if you can, even if you can do a minute, but 3 minutes, submerged in the water up to your vagus nerve, which is up to your neck. So just get back in it and let it coat you. It's only really bad for 20 seconds or so, and then your body adapts, and you can actually begin to feel the warmth in the cold. It's spiritual and cool. But that's one good way. Getting saunas. You're getting saunas to be honest, the more you can get in the sauna, the better it is, especially for men.
Infrared sauna or any sauna?
Dry sauna. You want to get in there, and you want to raise... It's just like you want to drop your core temperature, you want to raise your core temperature. And for heart health, that is paramount. So take a deep dive on that if you'd like more. And also fasting. Look, in all the ancient texts, fasting is the source. We overeat. Gluttony is arguably our number one sin.
I like carbs.
We all do. They're designed for us to like it. We are cattle to the pharmaceutical machine, and that goes into food, like you were saying, goes into everything. It is it's Batman, the one with the Joker, right? Where it's in cosmetics, it's in the food, it's everywhere. Then once you start to see that, you're like, oh my God, it is they live like, but this is really happening.
Yeah.
And how did we get stuck here? But we got stuck here because we chose to outsource instead of to do the work. And the only thing that truly gives us happiness is doing the work. So there's a reason everyone is so unhappy, is because it's outsourced kind of world. You know, it's like Rome before the fall kind of thing.
Totally. And so
once we stop doing that and you start taking control of that again, then you come back online, you're alive, you have purpose, and then you become a powerful force for good, you know, or hopefully for good, you know, moving in the right direction. But
where do you see humanity in the next 5 to 10 years?
Bottom of the ocean. No. Nuked to death. No. Consumed by wild boar. It depends, right? Like, if what's presently happening in the political landscape, without diving too deep in it, is truly going to be revolutionary, then we are going to see a sudden turnaround in health in the States, with an emphasis on us reaching peak physical self. To what use and to why, I don't know, you know, we could speculate. But yeah, I think you're going to see a health craze come, because it's going to come to light how radically unhealthy we are as a culture or community, the United States. So I think we're going to be in change, and we can be role models in the world. Like, the number one thing we have in the United States that we're known for is confidence, right? So whatever direction we end up going in, which hopefully is this new health and fitness, yeah, I think we're going to confidently go in that direction and be leaders and role models there. And hopefully a lot of that, or I really like, hey, quiet, the ecotourism aspect, or the eco part of it, the natural part of it, because some of that fitness is going to be happening in the woods where it really should. People need to, like, go back all the way to, like, ancient, the first Olympics. And right. I'm talking, like, naked, barefoot.
Whoa.
Let's fucking roll. You know what
Damn.
I mean? Let's battle.
Like doing a marathon in your bare feet,
there you
naked.
Go. There you
thing.
Go.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's really see who's the most badass
Damn.
Person. Now, ironically, it'd probably be the same Ethiopians and Kenyans running that would win that. Now, you know. But what about those women? I read about those women in Ecuador or Peru or something that, like, run through mountains like 20 miles with packs on.
Crazy.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's some people who are endurance athletes or super athletes just by default because of where they live and thrive in the world. Yeah, it's, man, indigenous peoples are the best. And I think, just to bring it all back around, I think that is what you're dealing with. We know of a lot of indigenous peoples, and the more rural you go into the different aspects of the world, you'll see people that are very strong featured. I mean, they look like different races, you know?
You want to go outside, honey?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. And it's strong, and that's different types of hominids, in my opinion.
Mm.
What is it? Well, is there something out there?
That's interesting. So you think the sort of different, as they say, races are actually different hominid types?
So yeah, it's just more indigenous peoples that
wow.
just live even more remote. Because
right.
let's go back to Native American wisdom. Let's go back to the ones that have been here much longer than us. And they don't call them animals. They're a lost tribe. They're a lost clan.
Right.
And if that is true, why do we just shove their wisdom aside and, like, we know everything? And that's another discussion, but it's because we're conditioned to have this confidence in our conditioning model.
Right.
And disrespect all other things. And they've already told us, yeah, they're people. They're just different. Yeah. What?
When are we doing the fire?
The fire? I have to go down and, like, build a little one so we can get it going. But you got to go find good sticks from Marshmallows.
Oh, that's a good idea. I bought skewers.
Oh, you got skewers?
I did the suburban mom thing. I know. I should have thought of the wilding mom
you
thing.
You hot shit. I love it.
I know.
It. No, hey. Oh, God forbid something's easy. Wonderful. Let's go.
Okay,
hold on.
Make it so which indigenous tribes or cultures have you worked with for your wisdom?
The Klamath Indian tribe, you know, that was a big one that that's where I really started like listening and paying attention to, okay, well, what are you guys saying to do in the woods to have these experiences? Because I want to have them. I think this is fantastic. And then I did a show called Exiled on MTV, and this is back in 2008, and a long time ago. And we traveled around the world working with indigenous teenagers. And because, you know, this is a little sidebar, but, you know, if I'm pleading a case to be an ambassador to relic hominid species, then this is why. I like being a bridge. Growing up in the military, I was every time I went, I'd have to be this new bridge between me and my family, me and this world. And so...
Wow.
I want to, oh God, I lost my train of thought completely.
The Klamath tribe, you did it Exiled.
Oh yeah, so I did Exiled and traveled all over the world and worked with indigenous kids. And my thought was there's no such thing as a bad child. There are only bad parents. And it's not just our literal, like our parent, it's also the United States as a parent in the community. And
whoa,
so
dude.
If you can remove that child from that entire reality, and you can put it with an indigenous kid in way across the world, I bet we can reprogram them to be functioning members of their society. And what I mean by that is these are spoiled rich kids. These are kids from my Super Sweet 16 that, like, if they got a red BMW and they wanted a black one, they would cry and throw a fit and tell you, I hate, like the worst we would say America has to offer. But we took those kids to prove a point. Right? You want to talk about people slinging arrows at you online and being mean to you and stuff? All the world's a stage, so we all have times where we're a bully. So we invited the bullies, these most badass kids, to come out. And how long do you think it took to, if they were, I'm never going to school. They're like, dude, I want to go back to school. I want to become a nurse. I want to become this. I want to become that. I've never cooked breakfast. I want to go home and cook for my dad. He always said if I ever made him breakfast, it would be the happiest day of his life.
Aww.
And like all these things, how long do you think it took for them to have this complete meltdown where they bawl, cry, scream at the world, actually get so fucking pissed they turn the world gray?
Whoa.
Dude, I was 4 hours out on a horseback ride to pick wild strawberries in Mongolia, and Aaron Wright, Eazy-E's daughter, turned the world gray, no lie. You can quote me on that. I'll take a lie detector test right now. That shit was crazy. But point being is we're super powerful. We're super powerful beings.
Wow.
And whether we're guided in one direction or not, and if we come together, that kumbaya stuff, man, that shit works. Imagine how much we'd all be levitating if we all came together.
Shit, yeah, dude.
I'm sorry, I keep getting distracted.
Hold on. So, question. So, you asked me how many days. I'm imagining 21 days for transformation.
Less, 24 hours. Less than 24 hours. What does that say? In research-wise, we did, and we ended up doing 18 of them, 19
wow.
if you count the one we did first. What does that say? It screams that we want to know where we belong, we want purpose, and we don't want to be treated like babies because we will accept it. If you make life too easy for people, they will accept it. That is human nature. It's the path of least resistance. You will get hurt less. You can then breed more. You are safer. It's natural. You cannot do that. The work must be done. And that's what I learned. Hey,
I didn't want that.
What is it? What are you running for? Hey, you shouldn't be running with this anyway. Does this still have the pen?
So,
no. Oh, okay.
What you're essentially saying is that we're going to continue to be spiritual babies until we're given the opportunity for a condition to be spiritual adults. Or did I get that right? Or
sure, but you've got to. I guess you've got to figure that out, and there's a lot of different ways to get there. And for me, one of them is looking for Bigfoot in the woods because you're facing your fears, and the fear is a barrier to being present. So you can be present in the woods, and you too. No fighting, no battling over the car. You be nice, little bully. And then hopefully eventually you get it, and you're in the right spot at the right time, or there is no coincidences, and you have a lovely. I would love to have a lovely sit down in the woods with a relic hominid and just like sit with them, you know. I got this amazing opportunity in Kenya with the Maasai, with a king, you know, like
whoa.
Like six wives and I forget how many head of, like 10,000 head of cattle, like, you know, wealthy. And I remember walking back at sunset, and we literally had to walk 12 miles with all the cow to get water, and it was getting worse all the time. So, and my dumb ass did it in flip-flops, because I'm known for the flip-flops, bare feet of flip-flops anywhere in the world. You know, like, there's snakes, there's thorns, and I'm like, I don't care, I'm flip-flop, man. But we're coming back, and the sun's going down, and the beating of all the feet and the colors are changing and it's beautiful and there's just enough dust and everything's vibrating because you're literally, if they stampeded, you'd be dead. You're just surrounded as far as you can kind of see. And
wow.
And he just reaches out while we're walking. This is why it's so important to travel and to leave your kingdom, because there are other ways of being that are, could be even more beautiful for you and your journey. And he reaches out, a king reaches out and takes my hand.
Aww.
Yeah, it's all right. And so he takes it, and at first, and I was already being emotional because I was recognizing, like, I want everyone I love here. This is a moment. This is like, this is not meant to be just for me. This, you know?
Yeah.
And he takes my hand. He must have felt it. And I remember
that's
it's
so sweet.
Oh, it's so sweet. But a typical American, first thing I thought was, I'm not fucking gay. Why is he taking my hand? Like a total asshole, like complete asshole. And that was my first thought. And I was like, what is happening? And then I realized, you know, you study up, you know, you understand it's part of their culture, and I let it go. But that was my first, honest to God, first response. And then I relaxed into it, and then I just broke down crying, like a deep sobbing. Aww. Like, I'm so happy. I thought I'd made it in my life. Hey.
Nice burpee.
Nice burp. You rocked it, bud. It's just one of the happiest, most amazing moments ever. But that only comes when you get way out of your comfort zone. And I mean, like, way. It's good to struggle. Like, that is should not be seen as bad because it's, you know, the work. You get to do the work, and you get to feel good about it, and you get to and you have to meet characters along the way that help you in your journey, and you find your true friends because you finally, if you stay focused, you don't have any time for all the bullshit. So really, when people cast arrows at you, if you're spending too much time on it, it's the only sign you need that you're not focused enough on the journey. You're taking time out, you know, because you're scared and,
totally.
And you don't want it. And you are a little doubtful and all, and they're
right,
helping you.
Right.
Why you?
It's like a teaching. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to use it that way. But, you know, I don't think there's any wrong way to do anything. So it's but I would argue that seeing the positive and using it for personal growth is the right way. You know, I would argue that. But it's there is no wrong way. You choose. And I think that's the tough conversations for a lot of people, you know, like. Welfare and things like that, like, you know, yeah, take care of people, but if there's jobs, you should be able to work, and if you can't work, like, you literally can't do anything, then we take care of you. But if you can and you choose not to, well, then you'll die. You'll just stop eating and die, like, or,
yeah,
you, or figure like, something else, like, something out. But that's just the harsh, who are we to control and tell people how to live it, right? Like, if people want to live wild in the woods, let them live wild in the woods. If they want to have mega mansions, have mega, like,
freedom,
like, but bring back the old days of when you would go to a place and everyone intermingled, from the wealthy to the poor. There was no class system. It was just gathering. Yeah. Where, whose is that?
It's a Coney's, but it's fine. I mean, if you're okay with it, I'm okay with it. Germs are good.
They'll just spill it everywhere.
Yeah.
You gonna spill it everywhere? Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
He likes brooms.
Oh, you like
it? Oh, wait.
You can take the broom if you want there.
So in the spiritual community that I'm a part of, there's a sort of saying, it's called the law of freedom, where as morality increases, freedom increases, and as morality decreases, freedom decreases. What are your thoughts on that, and in terms of the sort of general direction you see humanity going into right now?
Well, I just say yes, sure, that seems logical. And then the direction we're heading, I hope, is one that brings us more in tune with our primal self, which is our physical self. And we put ourselves back in the driver's seat of our own life, and we stop completely. See, the matrix, everyone thinks, that's real, we're in it. It's a metaphor. We are in a feeding tube with everything done for us. We are in there. That's just a metaphor for what we've outsourced, everything. Public works, our education, our healthcare, we work for other people. We don't work for families anymore, our friends or me. It's the outsourcing that is the death. That is what bleeds us until eventually we turn on each other. Everyone's angry with everyone because there's no connection anymore in that. That's not how you do it. Or you don't do it healthy. It's not the healthy way to do it. So I would like to believe that this next group of leaders or mentors that we've been given are really what they say they are, and they're going to create a new beginning. And I would like to believe that new beginning is going to be a good one. You know? And that's until I see different, why would you think negative? That's manifesting negativity. I want to manifest the positive. Yeah, my love.
Your favorite cat is on somebody's car.
Oh, yeah, that's Moby Kitty Kitty. That's my queen. She's the best. I love her the most. Don't tell mom.
Oh, thank you.
Good job.
I want to switch gears briefly. I loved everything you said. You had an interest in a sort of like fringe topic. How did you sell that to like Discovery Channel? Like how did that go about? You know what I mean?
Well, we lived in California and we got into film and we had a skill set within our group where everybody there was artistic and creative. And so we decided to tackle it and put it on film, see what we could do.
Cool.
And yeah, and that was the entrance into the professional world of paranormal and fringe science or whatever you want to talk about. And then from there, you show your passion and you see where life and your drive and your level of effort takes you. And, you know, we, once again, a secret to life is have as many adventures as you can and make as many memories with people as you can, because that is literally what bonds us. And outside of the people you grew up in your immediate family, you have to make these adventures with people very powerful to make them stick, you know? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, it just, do, be epic. Like, never stop being epic, right? Epic is memorable, and memorable lays the foundation for friendship and trust and everything. Anyway, so we, like I said, I met my buddy, and my buddy then went on to find success, and then uncoupled with that, like, stay positive, be a fun, hardworking person. And when they were on the road, it was a grind. He's like,
why do I see some marshmallows?
Yeah, go get some. Go get them now.
Then why do I see marshmallows?
Yeah, you can have one. You can have one.
Did you bought them out?
No,
I brought them for toasted marshmallows later.
Here, take one. Go eat it. We're almost
for the
done.
Listeners, I really did try to find plant-based ones for those that are concerned, but there are none that in the store right now that I went to. So.
These are made by Velveeta. You know it's good for him. My kid hasn't slept in 4 days. She's speaking in tongues. All she keeps saying is Velveeta, Velveeta, Velveeta. Oh, my God. We saw it coming. We knew it was coming. We're horrible parents. Sometimes you need a break, and sometimes you got to give yourself a break, because, you know, everyone's doing the best they can, and we have good days and bad days. It's just like, chill the fuck out. Like, you're doing the best, as long as you don't quit. You know, and what? You climbed up the tree? Yeah, you guys, you're not allowed up here. You're not allowed up here, and your chickens, you can't, we got to... A rooster and two chickens that we had a possum in the chicken house. And ever since we got a possum in the chicken house, nobody will stay in there anymore. They won't sleep in there. They won't do anything. I'm like, good Lord, we got rid of it. And it was a big one, too. They move a lot faster than you think. Like, never seen it move fast. And that thing was turbo. Scared the shit out of me the first time it moved. And the second time, I was like, come here, you son of a bitch. But, yeah, made me question. Scared me more than, like, a haunted house or anything. It was just like, wow. I didn't know they could sprint. Hey. You can't come up here. I'm going to put you to bed in a second, okay? Almost done with this podcast.
They have different personalities, the animals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might have gotten one Tom with all the six turkeys. We might have gotten one Tom. So we're pretty psyched about that. We you know. Yeah.
Anyway. Cool. Any last thoughts, or?
No, I think... The journey here in this plane can be whatever you want it to be. And if you stay passionate and keep fighting for it, you're going to attract a lot of attention. And the great thing is there'll be really good people in that too. And just don't waste any time with the shitbirds, you know, just keep soaring and that's it. And you ask, like, how'd you get into it? And I guess it's just passion. It's like one of the few things I really wouldn't mind or don't mind doing every day. Mm. And, you know, what is that to you? What gets you off, right? What gets you off? And
totally.
So that just freaks me out enough and teaches me enough and makes me a good enough person to I guess. And you can kind of do it as long as you want, right? You know, outside of, like, extreme adventuring.
Yeah.
You can haunt a house and no problem. I'll do that in a wheelchair. but no, man, I life is beautiful. And if you're having trouble seeing it, you know, give me a ring and I'll wrestle you, or I'll take you on a run, or stick you with indigenous people around the world and watch you change, because there's ways to get back to you. There's ways. But you got to go find them.
Excellent. Thank you.